as we read the Word of God together. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 42. And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them the portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if, that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the men servants and the maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him in sunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this opportunity this morning that we have. Help us not waste it. Help us to hear what you have for us today. God, please speak to our hearts. Make us to love you more, serve you more, be better at what we are. Now, Father, for this to be accomplished, then we need you to anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit. Use him this morning to speak to us through thy word. And Father, lastly, if there's somebody in this room this morning that does not know 100% for sure that they're going to heaven when they die, I pray at the end of this message, they would settle it and know for sure. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
I need to remind you this morning about Chernobyl. Do you remember Chernobyl? It was that nuclear reactor that melted down, infected a good portion of Europe with radioactive fallout. What was that thing in the East Coast, Three Mile Island? Was it Three Mile Island? If your cell phone goes off in this service and we hear it, it will immediately turn into a meltdown nuclear reactor and you'll contaminate all of us. So please make sure your cell phone is turned off or to vibrate. Help us with that this morning. I'm going to ask that you sit and listen very carefully today. Sunday morning messages for the month of January are messages that are intended to give us thought of truth from the Word of God that will launch us into this year. Hopefully things that we will think about and will be reminded of throughout the year. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. There's a statement there. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. That's part of a parable there that Jesus gave. Now, the parable is about the steward of a household. A steward in the Bible is someone who a wealthy person had working for him. And the steward was more than just an employee. The steward was given the responsibility of the entire household. And the Lord of the house, the Bible calls him here, his job basically was to take care of business and make money. The steward's job was to take care of the dispersing of that so that everyone in the household was taken care of. Look there in Luke chapter 12. Keep your Bibles open. Who then is that faithful, wise steward? Verse 42. Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in the due season? That means the steward's job was to make sure that the wealth and the possessions and the entrustment of the material things of the Lord were dispersed to everybody in the household so they got something to eat. Everyone was taken care of. The steward was the right-hand man of the Lord of the house. But Jesus is not talking about rich people with servants. He's talking about our Heavenly Father, who is the Lord of the household, who has given you a steward, responsibilities. And this steward here, now I want you to read down a little further with me. In verse 43 and 44, he talks about the wise steward and what he does. Verse 45 says, but and if that servant say in his heart, watch, all of a sudden this wise steward who was blessed by his Lord, he's changed now. And he goes from being a wise steward, from the rest of these verses, he's a steward who is beaten with many stripes. The master's not happy with this person. Do you know why? Because a wise steward forgot something. And because he did, he began to mistreat the people that were in the household. He began to abuse his own life and do things he shouldn't do. Eat, drink, get drunk, all kinds of stuff. Because you know what he forgot? He forgot, for unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required. Now, here's where the parable applies to you and to me today. You and I are stewards of God. He is the household Lord, the God of heaven. That means this, friend, listen, that means you and I today are in this parable. You and I need to remind ourselves, not only for this year, for the rest of our lives, for unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required. Now let's set ourselves in this parable and make a personal application. This will help you this year. I guarantee you that. It'll make a difference in how you live your life. It'll make a difference in the choices you make and the choices you do not make. The things you decide to do, the things you decide to not do. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. Now let's understand this about this relationship of the Heavenly Father and you and I as his stewards today. All of us have been given much. All of us. You say, oh, no, Pastor Johnson, you don't understand. I don't even have a car that runs. Obviously, on a Ford. I don't even have a car that runs. I live in a simple place. I live paycheck to paycheck. Welcome to America. I live paycheck to paycheck. I don't have much. Wait a minute. Did it say how much he'd entrusted the steward with? It just says he entrusted him with something. And the Lord considered whatever he entrusted the steward with to be much. But it didn't say how much it was. Didn't say how many, if it was millions of dollars, if it was a large household and all. Don't get hung up on the material side of this. Understand this, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord God of heaven has given you much. Guarantee. Let's get past the material for a moment. Let's talk about your health and your life. That's your greatest gift. The health and life God gives you, that is much. See, look, you can be poor as Job's turkey this morning. You can be so poor you have to Job's turkey had to lean up against the fence just to gobble. You could have nothing. You could have no car, no possessions, no house, live paycheck to paycheck, and have very little material in your life. But if you have health, you have more than what someone has who has millions of dollars and has no health whatsoever. So now you've been given much. Now listen, that means your life, your health, is much in the sight of God. He gave that to you. He gave you the breath in your body, friend. He gave you the life, the strength, the health that you have. In fact, if we see it correctly, we understand then that we are all stewards of God, and every one of us has been given much. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. Young people, do you realize you have the much of time on your hands? If you should live a normal, long, healthy life, you've got most of your life ahead of you. That's much, you know. For those of us who've already lived most of our lives, and at least half of it is behind us or more, we don't have that much more time, but you do. And to whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. See, well, I don't have a lot of things in life. I've never attained a great deal of degrees of education and learning. But if you've lived for very long, you've learned a lot in the school of hard knocks. Agreed? And God's taught you some things through life. And those things, those lessons you have, that's much in life. See, we think of much, the first thing we think of is money. That's the first thing we think of. The first thing we think of is the material side of things. Look at me. That's because the world has taught you what's valuable instead of you realizing what is real value in your life. Life, health, strength, those things are much, my friend. Opportunities, blessings, the future, the things that are ahead of you, what you could do, the things that you have in your life. We have all been given much, and to whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. Next, we need to understand this. Listen now, this is very important. Everything that we have is not ours. Matter of fact, nothing you have is yours. See, this steward here, this man had nothing until the Lord of the house gave him something. He had nothing till then. So everything the steward had that he was enjoying and in some cases abusing, all of it came from his master, all of it. Bible says, what? No, you're not, that you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God. Listen now, in your body and your spirit, which are God's. If you're a child of God this morning, a Christian, nothing you have belongs to you. Nothing. It all comes from God. Say, oh, no. God didn't go to work for me this week. I went to work. And who gave you the health and the strength and the life and the opportunity and the job to go to? Come on now, let's get it straight this morning. It all comes from God. It's all His. You opened your eyes this morning, that eyesight, that came from God. You take a breath in your lungs, those lungs, that life was given you by your God. Everything you have belongs to God. And if you ever forget that, you'll forget the great principle that turned this wise steward into a foolish steward, because he forgot who to whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. Hey, that's why it's not your body to do with as you please. It's not yours. You understand that? It's not yours. God didn't give you life, strength, and health so you can go out and live like a fool and party like an animal. God didn't give that to you. And God didn't give you wisdom, strength, understanding, and determination to do things so you can go out and just do what you want to. God gave that to you so you could use it the way He intended it to be given to you. Because unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. I'm tired of it right up to here and over the top. I'm sick and tired of people today who think they have to have it their way for it to be right. They got to have their rights. They got to get what they want. It's got to be theirs. And then when they get it, it's their right to do what they want with it, when they want with it, how they want with it, in whatever way that they choose. That's wicked. God didn't give us what he gave us so we could do what we wanted to with it. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. Everything the steward had came from the Lord of the house. So watch me now. You get that attitude in your thinking, hey, this is my marriage, this is my life, this is my relationships, this is my job, this is my money, this is my roof, this is my car, this is my, mine. When you get that way again, you're going to forget a principle, and that's what turned this wise steward, who was going to be so blessed because his Lord was going to come find him doing what he should be doing, into a steward who was so foolish, he thought, you know what, the master's not around. And who cares what I do with what he gave me? It's mine anyway. And I can mistreat these servants, and I can get drunk, and I can beat on these people, and I can do what I want to. You see the problem? This guy forgot, unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. Now then, for 2011, that would be a very good thing for us to remember. Very good. For unto whomsoever much is given, unto him shall be much required. So here's how this principle applies. Listen. Then here's what I need to do. Number one, I need to accept my responsibility. I need to accept my responsibility. I am responsible to God, the God of heaven, who has given me everything. Now look, if you can't resolve that first issue, we can't get anywhere in the message today, and you're already checked out and rejoicing in the fact that the Chicago Bears are going to win and move on in the playoffs today. All right, you're already thinking about that. I have no idea if that's the case. I'm just praying. But the truth is, you're already thinking, well, it doesn't make a difference because what I have is mine, and that preacher's not going to take it away from me. I'm not trying to get what belongs to you. I'm trying to get you to realize it belongs to God. It all comes from God. All of it. If I see that, then guess what happens? Unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. Then I must accept my responsibility this morning. I must accept the responsibility that everything I have comes from God. All of it. Listen, do you realize you're accountable to God? You're responsible to God for what you hear today here at church. Now, I'm not going to be held accountable and responsible for what you hear. As long as I preach the Bible, my hands are clean this morning. So you can get up and walk out of here and blow the whole thing off if you want to. It's not Mike Johnson's fault. Mike Johnson will do his best. And I don't do a good job at it, but I try. He'll do his best to tell you what the Bible says. If you blow the whole thing off, you're going to be held accountable for that. God will hold you responsible for what you receive. You see, here's what we think. Well, as long as I put a buck in the offering plate every now and then, that's basically all that's necessary. No, no, no. He holds you accountable for the truth that you know. He wants you to be responsible with that. Hold your place here. Go to Revelation 21. Let me show you something here just real quickly. Revelation chapter 21 and verse number 8. Very familiar verse in the Bible concerning those who wind up in hell. Now, what kind of a horrible person must someone be to wind up in hell? I mean, come on. How awful must a person be? Why, I know we'll see murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. I know we'll see them there because that's where they belong, right? Someone who would take innocent life, someone who is an immoral person, just lived a completely uncontrolled immoral life, a liar, all Congress, a liar, all those people, they all wind up in hell. You know what a sorcerer is in the Bible? A sorcerer comes from the word in the Greek pharmakia. They use drugs and incantations and things for their witchcraft. Well, that's a pusher and a drug dealer and those kind of people. Well, of course those kind of people belong there, right? See who the top of the list is. Revelation 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Whoa. What's so awful about being fearful and unbelieving that would wind a person, cause them to wind up in hell? You know what it is? Because they sat in a gospel-preaching, Bible-believing church. They heard the gospel and said, yeah, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to trust Christ. They embraced their, they were what? They were fearful about what it would cost them to trust Christ. But to be fearful, they'd have to know what salvation was. So they were afraid. Hey, they're afraid somebody's going to nail them as one of these Christian types. And boy, they couldn't do that because, you know, they'll lose your little social standing. Only social standing with low brows and low lives. Nobody important, trust me. But the fearful. What about unbelieving? Why would an unbelieving person wind up in hell? Because they refused to believe. They knew the truth and refused to accept it. Oh. So those people have been talking to you about your soul and your salvation, and you continue to reject that. Do you understand that puts you in the crowd with murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars? Because unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required. Do you know why God is so hard on America and the judgment matters in this nation? Because there's more gospel in America than there is anywhere on the face of this planet. And we are becoming a heathen nation. We know more about some fool named Snooky than we do about Jesus in the Bible. Shame on you. Shame on you, America. What a disgrace today. We have more gospel in this country. Someone dies and goes to hell from America. That's a shame on our churches. That's a shame upon us in this nation. But what is it today? Look at me. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand the truth God gives you? That's much today. There are people in this world, they'll wake up, they'll never hear the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ one time in their life. Not one time. But the average person in America will. And they'll hear it probably many times in their lives. But outside of our nation, let me talk to you this morning. The truth that you have heard and received, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by him. That Christ is the only hope of salvation. And he died for you and paid for your sins and rose again the third day to give you eternal life. That simple, wonderful truth that could save anybody, anywhere, anytime, any place has been presented to you this morning. And what we must do is make a decision today. You must realize that you've been given much now. Much. I've watched peoples in the farthest corners of this earth who never heard the gospel one time in their life have tears roll down their cheeks the first time they heard about Christ and simply accepted him as their personal Savior and were so thankful that they received Christ. Over in India, when we were there, when a person turns from the Hindu religion and comes to Christ, they're rejected by their families. That's not just a social thing. Many times it costs them their life. And they wind up living in the church buildings, some that we have helped them build. They'll sleep on a floor, concrete slab floor, on a little straw mat, and that's the rest of their life. They have to teach them how to sew garments and sew clothing to make a living, because the families will just let them starve to death. And they're completely rejected by their loved ones, and it costs them everything in their family. And again, ladies and gentlemen, you don't just go move to another village. You live and die where you were born. But then you go see those dear people, and they just love Jesus and sing, and they're so happy to be saved. Which in the case of India, it's not a blessing, because those dear people can't sing a lick. I mean, not a lick. It sounds like somebody taking a stick and beating a dog. I mean, it is just awful. It is. Bless their heart. I appreciate make a joyful noise, but that gave a whole new expression to that in the Bible when I listen to those folks. Oh, my. But the truth, my friend, is much given to you. That's much. And we are accountable to that. I'm responsible. I have a responsibility to do something with that which God has given me. See, that's why you're not your own. You're bought with a price. That's why it's not your life, it's His life. That's why it's not your future, it's His future. That's why it's not your choices to make, it's His choices to make. That's why it's not right for me to do what I want to with my life, because it isn't mine to begin with, and I'm responsible to God to do something about it, and it makes me an unjust steward if I'm not responsible for to whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. So Pastor Johnson, you go ahead and talk to those young people, because, boy, you know, I've pretty well lived my life. Now, you've still been given much, friend. Yes, you have. My generation today, that youthful generation, my generation, can't even say that anymore. My generation today is the most inherited generation in the history of America. Billions of dollars have been given to my generation. And we're in the worst financial economic situation our country's seen in quite some time. Do you know why? Because we're dumb enough to not use it right. And just throw it away and buy stupid things that won't last 6 months and do things with it that are not responsible. And guess what, dear people? See, there's a personal responsibility that's necessary. Listen now, listen. I don't care if you're 85 years old today. You've been given much. Then you have the wisdom of a life lived. And the wisdom, something needs to be done with that. Rather than just say, oh, well, that's it for me and I'm done. No, you're not done. You're still breathing. Unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. God didn't intend for us to sit in the bleachers and watch the race go by, friend. We need to find out what he wants us to do and get in there and do what he put us on this earth to do. See, it's to whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. It's about accepting my responsibility. Number two, it's about realizing my accountability. Look here. The Lord comes back in a time when the steward thought not. The Lord comes back and says, okay, let's see what you did with what I gave you. And he looks around and the servants are crippled and beat up. The guy's a wreck and a drunk. He's a mess. And what does the Lord say? Oh, well, you couldn't help yourself. After all, you had the disease of alcoholism. The only disease I know is spread by open bottles. The only difference between a drunk and an alcoholic is drunks don't have to go to meetings. That's the only difference. I don't believe in that junk. No, sue you me. No, no, no. I was not sick, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs. That's a fact. Now listen to me. But see, here's what happens. Watch me. Then all of a sudden we got all these problems. And does the Lord look at this steward who was unjust with what he was given and didn't take care of it properly? Does he look at that steward and say, oh, well, you couldn't help it? You're codependent. You're not in touch with your inner child. It's a bad economy. And man, and man, and man, and man, let me give you a little background music. What does he do with this guy? He beats him. Listen now. Was the Lord and master of the house, was he pleased? No, you know what he did? Look at me. He held him accountable for what he had been given. And that's accountability, my friend. Now look at me. There is a day when you and I, one at a time, every one of us today, all of us, me, you, all of us, are going to have a one-on-one with God. And we're going to look him in the face. I don't preach it on judgment's not popular with the Joel Osteen crowd and the Smiley Boys and all that. I know that's not popular, but I'm going to tell you something. People are going to love preachers like us who tell you the truth rather than them smiley punks who are too ashamed to stand up and say what they should say. Because there will come a day. You won't be happy when you stand in front of God and you go, how come he's not smiling? Yeah, that's right. You're not going to be happy about that. But if you listen to this preacher this morning, I will tell you this. You and I have a one-on-one with God one day. We're going to look him in the face, and the Bible says, and every one of us shall give account of ourselves to God. Now think about that for a moment. That either intimidates you, and it should, because it intimidates me. The thought that one day I'm going to stand in front of him and look him in the face and give an account of my life to my God. By the way, the judgment of God, as you know, there's several different judgments in the Bible. There's the one for the lost people. There's one for saved people. When it says give account, it doesn't mean stand up there and give your best speech. Some folks are hoping they get a good speechwriter at the judgment, so they can spin some words. You know, there's nothing said at judgments by the person being judged. The one doing the judging does all the talking. And he brings you up and the heavenly screen drops, as it were, or whatever the case may be, and he says, this is your life. And we give account to God for what he gave us. He said, what? You were 18 years old and you threw it all out the window? What? You got to retirement days and you decided you'd rather drive around in a motorhome than go to church? What? What did you do? What is this with your life? That's the accountability of God. Ladies and gentlemen, that's accountability. For to whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And it isn't going to look good when you stand in front of God and you say, yeah, well, I thought it was my life. He said, I already told you it wasn't. Now what's the next thing? No, there's no excuses. There's no real talking. The only thing we really say at the judgment is every knee will bow and every tongue will confess to God that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's the only thing we do is say, he's Lord. I acknowledge that. But he's Lord now. Accountability. Oh, wait a minute. Not just in the next life, but in this life. You wonder why it's so much of the troubles we're having in our lives. You know where so much of that comes from? God trying to teach you to be accountable with what he's given you. We think to ourselves, we're going through a tough economy. Isn't it interesting that the principle of I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging bread still applies? Isn't that interesting? Because you know why? Because a wise steward who's faithful with what God gives him, God takes care of what they can't take care of. Yeah, he's a faithful God. He's a good God, ladies and gentlemen. He'll take care. We just have to be responsible and live in an accountable way before the God of heaven. But if you fool around and take what he's given you and you're not accountable with that, it doesn't just wait till the judgment bar of God for that stuff to take place. The hand of God reaches down and starts touching things in our life here, and we wonder why we can't get over on this and can't get up on that and can't get forward here and can't do that, because he took that steward and he beat him. He laid stripes on that guy. Those are marks that would be evident to the rest of the household. This guy didn't please the master. Okay, Pastor Johnson, all right, fine. Responsibility, accountability, what else is left? How about reliability? Do I consider myself and what I gain in all this, or do I realize that I must be reliable to my God and those he puts in my life? Remember, the steward's job was to feed the rest of the household. And what does he do? He beats them. He mistreats them. And then he takes what he was given, he gets drunk with it. So when the master comes back, he says, you are not very reliable with what I gave you. Hey, I gave you health and strength so you could work and take care of your family. But your job is not God. The means of our income is just to simply take care of what we need to do. The job's not the boss. God's the boss. And we need to be reliable. Hey, we need to be reliable with what he's given us. Not just treat this whole thing like it's mine and I got, oh boy, and I lucky. No, you're not lucky. You're blessed. And there's a reason that you're blessed. So the steward could take care of the others in their household. See, I'm a product of a generation in this country who, when my parents' marriage fell apart, my grandparents stepped up and took my brother and sister and I in out of a drunkard's home and took care of us. And they forfeited their future for us. My grandfather was a superintendent for a major construction company in America and was not a wealthy man, but had no reason to be concerned about his retirement. Everything was going to be fine. He had worked hard and worked well, and they'd been wise with what they had. And when our family blew apart, my grandparents did something many grandparents do today. They stepped up, and they forfeited what they could and could have been comfort and ease for them to take care of us and never complain about it, never. Look here, because They realized they'd been given something, and it wasn't just stuff. It was family and the things that needed to be taken care of. And they were, you know what? So now they have a grandson who's a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now for years, they've been up in heaven watching me. I keep a picture of them up over my desk. And I think about them often. I miss them. Because they accepted their responsibility, realized their accountability. They understood the importance of their reliability. And it didn't just affect them. It affected everybody else. Listen now, you understand, if you take what God gives you and you use it just for you and nobody else, you're messing with somebody who's supposed to be sharing that with you down the road somewhere. You're taking away. See, I didn't have a good home when I grew up, except for the time I had with my grandparents. That 4 or 5 years of my youth. The rest of the time I lived in drunkard home or broken homes. That's where I lived. Now I can either take that into my present life and make my family, my wife and our children and our grandchildren, make them pay for the fact I didn't have a good life, or I could just get the stinking chip off your shoulder, straighten up, and realize, okay, so it didn't go well for you. How about making it good for somebody else? For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. Take that one to your psychiatrist and your psychologist. Take that one to him and tell him, I grew up in a dysfunctional home, but I don't have one by the grace of God, because God's mercy and grace gave me something. And I didn't get a good childhood, so I get to see that in my own children as they grew up, and in our grandchildren as they're coming along. It all works out. It works out. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. We're all stewards of God today. Be a wise steward this morning. Make sure you realize everything you have is His, all of it. And now that's all from Him, I want to be responsible with what He's given me. My grandfather was a construction man. He knew where every tool he had was and which toolbox it was in. And he had these big chest toolboxes, all kinds of tools. He'd say, Michael, get me the finish hammer. As a kid growing up, I understood the difference between a finish hammer and a framing hammer and all those sorts of things. And after a while, I learned what box it was in. If I couldn't find it, he'd say, oh, it's in the third box over there on the side of the garage. He'd flip it open, reach in there, pull it out. He knew exactly where it was and exactly what it was. If I ever left one of those hammers laying out on the lawn and got to fooling around with it, ooh. My grandfather didn't have that counseling session where you talk about how good you feel. He didn't get that one. I got the lecture on, don't you ever leave one of my hammers out there on the lawn like that again. Don't you know how important those things are? And I got the lecture about that. Oh, yeah. He taught me responsibility. Taught me not to mess with his hammers is what he taught me. Be careful about what you have and what you get. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. That's all of us today. And one day we'll answer to him for it. And in this life we answer now. So let's be reliable with this. Somebody's counting on you today. Let's stand to our feet, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed.